are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
I mean, you've been on this podcast long enough with me to know about my affinity for James White.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Yeah. Like, ultimately, I mean, this is a really long conversation to say you're going to get screwed by Bill Belichick quite often. And every time you see them, like, written abbreviated somewhere, you think of the Clippers, right?
Oh, absolutely. Okay.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
When you have Alex Smith as your quarterback, I'm never going to want you really on my team.
And just yeah, I'm a deterrent. I'll do it.
I'm actually going to put in bet on that real quick. Just I like those odds, actually.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits football podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Mike Warner. Mike, how you doing?
Mike Warner, who the hell is that? I don't know who that is.
I know. It feels like forever since I last talked to you, buddy.
Oh, it is forever. That's absolutely a fact. That was forever, but we've made it. We made it to another week one of the NFL season. Unfortunately, my people down in Florida are in like grave danger. I'm really, really concerned about this hurricane coming up on them. But other than that, I'm really excited about the football season. I'm happy to be talking to you as well.
I'm excited to be talking to you too, my friend. I'm not as worried about Florida because I don't really know many people that live out there. But if you are out there, I hope you are safe and hunkered down or getting out of town, and you're going to be somewhere where you can still enjoy some football. This one's going to be a kind of a quick one, 10-15 minute podcast. We're just going to preview the Thursday night game. This won't be like a regular occurrence. Typically, whoever does the preview show with me, whether it be Mike or Eli, will just kind of cover the entire slate. And a lot of times we'll largely ignore the Thursday night game because we'll be recording it right before it happens or as it's going on or sometimes even after it's gone on. But we're excited for week one. So we thought we would kind of get a jump and just do a quick episode on just week one or just on the first episode of the Thursday night game. Just a reminder, you can follow Mike on Twitter at Mike Warner FWFB. You can follow me on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. So let's dive in. Kansas City Chiefs at the New England Patriots. Mike, what are you looking forward to in this game?
Oh man, first and foremost, I'm looking forward just to watching an NFL game that counts in the standings for sure. But the thing that probably intrigues me the most is the running back situation for New England. And I know that the New England offense is an absolute juggernaut, and you should have came out of all your drafts with at least a couple of guys from New England at some point. But I'm really interested to see how it works. I think that Deion Lewis is kind of the forgotten man here, that everybody just has been gravitating towards James White since Julian Edelman went down. And Mike Gillisley obviously was a kind of a fantasy favorite at the beginning of the draft season here, and then he's kind of fallen off a bit recently. And at the end of the day too, you have Rex Burkhead there, who was signed and should like add some value as well. I think it's just a really interesting situation. But me personally, I was kind of gravitating towards Deion Lewis towards the end of draft season here, just because he still, all the reports have been great in terms of his shape and how he is looking. He seems to still have elusiveness and is still pretty decisive, and I think that he could give you some value moving forward. Hopefully we'll see in game one. I'm not going to be playing him. Obviously I have him in multiple spots. I'm not going to start him this week against Kansas City, but I am intrigued on how the usage will be amongst this group. And just overall, I'm going to be excited about the game.
All right. Well, if you're going to tackle the Patriots backfield, I'll tackle the Kansas City backfield. With the Spencer Ware injury and him being out for the entire season, Kareem Hunt has been like everybody's like flag player since, right? I mean, everybody keeps pushing Kareem Hunt up and up at the boards. And then some talk comes out. Matt Nagy, who is the offensive coordinator of Kansas City, kind of insinuates that all three backs are going to be a big part of the game plan, that this could be kind of a running back by committee type situation. I'm not necessarily buying that. But if you're one of those people who took Kareem Hunt in like the second or third round after the Spencer Ware injury, you have to be freaking out right now. And for good cause. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Hunt, and I think at some point he will establish himself as the guy. But he is a rookie running back. He did not have the lead dog role all throughout the preseason and training camps. I mean, he was supposed to kind of just claim that job at some point. It'll be interesting to me. I think Hunt may kind of struggle a little bit in this game. The Patriots allowed the fewest fantasy points to running backs last season. So I think he could struggle quite a bit. I think C.J. Spiller could get in the mix as a change of pace back, especially because I think Kansas City will be down early and need to start to throw quite a bit. I think this is a bad week to be a Kareem Hunt truther, though I think there will be better roads ahead.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Kareem Hunt. I think that was a bit of noise that came out of Kansas City on that front. I think the reason people are gravitating towards Hunt is because he is one of few running backs that could get all of the carries and all of the usage in a Chiefs backfield that historically has been pretty good under Andy Reid. And also Andy Reid historically loves to lean on one guy for the most part. So I think Kareem Hunt, the fact that he is a rookie running back actually makes me feel a little better about the situation because he has fresher legs. He's younger. Yes, that comes with inconsistency and with just overall speculation on how he will do. But I do think that when it's all said and done, he'll end up at least a top 15 running back, maybe top 10. And you do make a great point about New England's points against running backs last season. They were the best in the league in terms of fantasy points per game, but they had the fourth fewest attempts against them because they were up in so many games. And I think that we should kind of dismiss that a little bit this season. I think the Patriots have lost that field.
How can you dismiss it? They added more offensive weapons. Like they're going to be better offensively this year than they were last year.
But I don't think they're as good defensively.
Oh, I think that's I mean, they may have taken a tad step back. I don't think they've taken much of a step back.
Not a ton. But, at the end of the day, if I know that, even if Kansas City gets blown out this week, where do you have him ranked in your running back ranks, Kareem Hunt, for this week?
I have him in the around 20, I think.
Around 20, and I think that's fair. Somewhere between 15 and 20, I think, is fair, which makes him a solid running back to play. So all we're saying here, essentially all you're saying is play him, but you should be worried about what he puts up because New England last season was the best against running backs. But at the same time, I don't go into every season assuming that whatever happened last season is going to be the same. Yes,
sure,
the Patriots won the Super Bowl, and they have a better offense than they did last year. And chances are, there's a -9 line on this game in favor of New England, which is telling me that, yes, there will be a chance that Kansas City kind of takes their starters out at some point in the fourth quarter, and you're relying on three quarters of Kareem Hunt and this starting offense. But at the same time, the last time, the biggest game that I remember between Kansas City and New England is the game that Tom Brady threw, four or five interceptions, and people were saying his career was done. So, there is a chance that the game does become competitive, and if in that chance, Kareem Hunt should have a really good avenue for value.
Tom Brady's going to put on a show. It's an opening game at home. They're going to get their Super Bowl rings. They're going to put on a fucking show. And I believe on the last podcast I was on, I announced I'm going to be writing for Fantasy Alarm. But my first article went up today, previewing every single fantasy relevant player in every single game. And I also gave predictions of the final, who would win, final score. Patriots 34-10. This is not going to be close.
Okay, so let's talk about the wide receivers then on the Patriots side, since we're only doing this game itself. Outside of Brandon Cooks, who scores the most points?
Wide receivers?
Yeah.
It's Chris Hogan.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. Yeah. I mean,
Chris Hogan's either going to get Steven Nelson or Philip Gaines in coverage. Both are atrocious. I think Brandon Cooks obviously gets the Marcus Peters matchup, which kind of limits a little bit of his upside because, Peters being one of the best cornerbacks in the game. Hogan is going to should get plenty of looks. I think Malcolm Mitchell has some interesting potential, but I just don't know. Tom Brady spreads the ball around so much. He might get, you know, he might be one of those guys get like 3 catches for 20 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah. My thing is, like, I'm not starting any other wide receivers except Brandon Cooks if I have other Patriots wide receivers, because at the end of the day, you would be benching guys that you took probably in the 4th, 5th, 6th round. And why would you do that at the in the first game of the season? Like, the first week of the year, if you're benching, you know, guys like Jamison Crowder because you want to put in somebody like Chris Hogan when they're facing even somebody like Terrace Mitchell or Phillip Gaines, I just feel like that's not really putting yourself in an advantageous spot. So I just wouldn't start him.
Chris Hogan, like a 3-wide receiver league, I would be interested in starting him, you know, over a guy like Dante Moncrief. A guy like, I mean, you got to remember too. We got 2 teams on bye week because Tampa and Miami, is postponed. You know, then you got guys who are injured, guys who are suspended, and like Willie Snead. You know, I mean, I might do Hogan over Corey Davis.
I would too. Corey Davis is looking like he's going to have a limited snap, so we'll get to that in the preview, I suppose, but yeah, like I agree with that.
I would rather do him than Jeremy Maclin, than, you know, I'm looking kind of the wide receiver 3 areas, you know, so I think there's a number of arguments to say that Hogan for me is a wide receiver 3 or a flex play option, because I do think he is the undoubted number 2 in that out of the wide receivers.
What do you think? I think it's more of a season-long question. Yeah, I don't think Philip Dorsett is a factor at all, because he's going to play the X role, and in the past with New England, that's been a position that just really hasn't equated to a lot of fantasy value. And that's why I talked about Deion Lewis at the start of the show, because if he hits, if he ends up being similar to what he was a couple of years ago, then he can, you know, form a bigger role for himself that equates to a bigger usage rate than a lot of the other guys on this offense. And Philip Dorsett, I think that he's a nice piece to have like on the side for New England, maybe as a deep threat. He was a first round pick, so we know that he has some speed. He's dealt with some injuries, et cetera. But Chris Hogan, Danny Amendola, those are guys that know the system. There's no way Philip Dorsett can learn that, especially in a week, maybe not even the first half of the season. And even if he were to learn the system, it would be more of a second half of the year type of play. And that's dismissing guys like Malcolm Mitchell, Dwayne Allen in the red zone. You have still have all 3 of those other backs there. So I think if you're going to see somebody emerge out of this New England team that can be a legitimate, like, player for you in fantasy that you can start every single week without worrying about it, it would be somebody like Deion Lewis or Chris Hogan, because their roles could end up being legitimate enough. But somebody like Dorsett, even if we felt good about him, we wouldn't be able to project him to be even higher than a wide receiver 3 any given week, and especially not this week.
Yeah, I just don't. I think Lewis is going to get his, you know, his touches, and he's going to be involved in things, but I just don't know to what extent with so many mouths to feed already. I mean, you know, he's pretty much doing what James White already does.
Kind of, but he's better in between the tackles. And James White, if you take out that Super Bowl performance, he wasn't that great. Like, he's just always been a good, not great, pretty average NFL player that if he was to get 20 touches a game, yeah, it would be great for fantasy. Like, he would be pretty decent. But the fact that we are in such limbo every week with how much his usage is going to be, we end up really not starting him too much, and we consider him more of like a running back 4. Like, this recent James White hype has me kind of like questioning why people are so high on him. I just don't understand what the difference between James White this year compared to last year truly is. Like, I understand Julian Edelman being out is the main reason, but you still have many weapons there, including Brandon Cooks, who is essentially a slot receiver that could, if he ended up, you know, learning the playbook well enough, could run the same precise routes that Julian Edelman does. I just don't really see the difference in role between White last year and this year. It seems weird to me.
I mean, you've been on this podcast long enough with me to know about my affinity for James White. I mean, I was a big James White fan when he came out of college. I continue to be. I think he is the most complete of the passing backs. And I know Deion Lewis showed flashes before getting hurt. But that injury, you know, that he came off of last year is still a devastating type injury, and it doesn't mean he's going to stay healthy necessarily just because he is at the moment. I know he wasn't fantastic last year, White, but, I mean, he had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I mean, 6 double-digit fantasy games, you know, and then a huge Super Bowl game, which to me tells me that they're going to utilize him quite a bit. The hard part is, in New England, you're never going to be able to trust the running back situations. So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Like, ultimately, I mean, this is a really long conversation to say you're going to get screwed by Bill Belichick quite often.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say about this game is that, you know, obviously you're starting Travis Kelce, but Tyreek Hill, I've heard, like, some people, he's really polarizing. Some people love him, and some people just love to hate him, and not just for his off-the-field antics, but just in general, they feel like the touchdown regression is coming and that he's not a polished receiver. All of those comments are probably fair, but with that said, I think that Tyreek Hill is in for a massive season, and it could start this week, especially if New England starts steamrolling Kansas City. I could easily see, in PPR formats especially, Tyreek Hill end up really getting a ton of receptions, and, you know, obviously whenever he touches the ball, he's a candidate to go to the house. So I think that Tyreek Hill is almost like sneaky in a way this year, because people have been so down on his touchdown regression coming into the offseason, frankly, that it could present like a buying opportunity, especially if he ends up starting off week one bad. If he ends up having a bad first week, I think that there could be an avenue for buying him quite low, and I'm definitely in for that.
Yeah, I think he's going to struggle a little bit this week. The matchup against Malcolm Butler. And Butler's struggled a bit in coverages this preseason. But, I mean, I think he's still a stud. I think he's going to limit the damage that Hill can do. He's definitely a boomer bust kind of guy, which is kind of nice when you got a Thursday night matchup, because, you know, if he busts, then, you know, you got to kind of shoot for the moon maybe in some of your other matchups. But if he booms, then you've got a nice little lead kind of coming into the week. When you have Alex Smith as your quarterback, I'm never going to want you really on my team. And just,
yeah.
You know, and until Mahomes kind of takes over in Kansas City, I'm just not going to trust. And Mahomes looked good. Like, I think the Mahomes
era. Oh, he looks amazing.
I think the Mahomes era is coming a lot sooner than a lot of us thought. I think a lot of people thought, oh, Mahomes is going to sit for the first year. You know, they've got Alex Smith, who's usable. I think Mahomes is going to take this job at some point this season.
The way that he takes the job is if Kansas City, obviously they're going to go 0-1, more than likely.
Yes.
If they end up starting off the season like 1-4, 1-3, it's going to be Mahomes quite early, in my opinion. So.
Well, let's take a look at their schedule real quick and see. That way, if maybe like 2 QB people want to go out and maybe stash Mahomes, might not be a bad option.
They have Philadelphia week 2. They're at home against Philadelphia week 2. Then they're at the Chargers week 3. Home against Washington week 4. At Houston week 5. Games that quite frankly are losable. I mean,
The more I dug into the Chargers, I really like the Chargers this year.
Oh, I love the Chargers this year. Love them. They easily could win that division. Easily.
Well, I don't know if they're going to win the division, but I think they're going to give a run at it. I think they're the second best team in that division.
If we looked up Vegas odds right now, I bet the odds are probably not that bad for the Chargers to win that division. Maybe. I don't know.
Give me a second and I'll look it up. Why don't you talk about something else?
Well, okay. I mean, I'll continue on the Pat Mahomes train. So if they go into week one, lose in New England, and then they play Philly week 2 and lose that game, then you're going 0-2 into L.A., and say you lose that game, you're 0-3 at home against Washington. That's a must-win for Alex Smith, right? If you're in week 4 against the Washington Redskins at home and you lose that game, we might be seeing Pat Mahomes in week 5, like, realistically. If they go 0-3, lose to Washington at home under Alex Smith, they're going to turn to Pat Mahomes in week 5.
The Chargers are 19-95. So $100 bet would you $380 right now.
I'm in for it. I'm a degenerate. I'll do it.
I'm actually going to put in $100 bet on that real quick. I like those odds, actually.
What's the Denver odds?
Denver,
oh, it's not in the same spot.
18-5. So they're right there.
Yeah, it's about close.
Raiders 7-4. And then Chiefs 12-5. So Raiders are the prohibitive favorite to win that division, as they should be.
Yeah,
I think the Raiders are the most complete team, but I really like what the Chargers have done on defense. They're getting Keenan Allen back. Mike Williams isn't as hurt as maybe we had originally thought. I think they've got a real shot to win that division as well.
Although that defense is legit.
Yes.
Like, you have Bosa in there. They're getting Verrett back
Melvin
this
Ingram,
year.
Yeah, Verrett. Oh. I mean, the defense is no joke.
I know they gave up a ton of points to running backs last season. They were among the worst.
And that's how you attack them. But, I mean, Corey Luggett can't be as bad as he was last year. Like, you know, but, and I mean, you know, and you still have pretty good linebacking core for the most part. So, yeah, they're a little soft kind of up the middle, but I mean, you have to be able to throw in this league, and having Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa coming off the edge with the cornerback play that they've got is going to, you know, they're gonna get a lot of sacks, get a lot of turnovers. That's going to be a fun team to watch.
Absolutely agree.
And every time you see them, like, written abbreviated somewhere, you think of the Clippers, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
I like Clippers every single time.
It's really fucking annoying.
It's the truth, though.
Like, I'm still not used to calling the Rams the LA Rams, and now I got to do this LA Chargers.
LA Chargers.
No, this is real bullshit. That's what this is.
Yeah, you can't be putting sports fans in this position. It's fucked up.
Yeah. All right. Kansas City Chiefs at the New England Patriots. Mike, who you got?
I'm going the Patriots.
I'm gonna go the Patriots too. It is a 9-point line. I'm taking the Patriots. Like I said, my predictions on Fantasy Alarm had the Patriots winning 34-10, and I stand by that. So, all right, that is going to wrap us up. Mike, where can people reach you at, and what are you working on?
Reach me at Mike Werner, FWFB, on Twitter. If you're in the baseball, you can still check out my daily matchups column on Baseball HQ for the next few weeks as the baseball season winds down and my Rays love also winds down at the same time. You can check out my rankings on friendswithfantasybenefits.com. I will have those up sometime later today. And, yeah, that's it.
You can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. You can email me or the show, friendswithfantasybenefits@gmail.com. Read all my football stuff over at Fantasy Alarm and on Friends of Fantasy Benefits. I got the weekly preview, which was like 10,000 words this week over on Fantasy Alarm. So a lot of good information. I don't care how deep of a league you're in. I pretty much covered everybody there is to talk about in fantasy football outside of defense and kickers. And then I'll be doing my weekly sports betting article. Will be coming up on somewhere between Friday and Sunday morning every week. So if you like to pick games against the spread, I take a couple bets and I say who I like and keep track of it all season. I think I finished around 60-something% last year, so I did pretty well. And then you can read all my baseball stuff over at FanGraphs. Hear me on this podcast twice a week, baseball podcast 2 to 3 times a week. And that's going to wrap us up. So, Mike and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season. Every night I get you on the telephone. We sleep and we talk and we play till the dawn. Trying to get a handle on who we are. Sleep on night. Hook. Falling in love is never by the book. Getting close beneath the blanket of a million stars.
I turned it off. Sorry. All right. Let me start again. Sorry.
Yeah, you're editing this now.
That's fine. What was the question?
You were talking about Dion Lewis.
Oh, you're talking about Philip Dorsett.
Yeah.
Hold on.